As the bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope for a fool than of him. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that could render a reason. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? Where no wood is, there is the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, just thank you for this time we have, Lord, to hear the preaching of your word. Just please bless this service, Lord. Please bless pastor and fill him with the Spirit, Lord, as he preaches your word unto us, Lord, and that us in the congregation, we would be attentive to the preaching tonight, Lord, and that we would take these truths from your word and apply it to our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in Proverbs chapter 26 this evening, and the title of my sermon tonight is The Faces of Folly. The Faces of Folly. In this particular sermon, I want to cover the fool that's mentioned here in Proverbs chapter 26. Folly is the state or quality of being a fool or acting foolishly, lacking understanding or sense, and of course, in the biblical context, is lacking biblical knowledge and biblical wisdom. This is a person who essentially inherits folly. And often, even in the Bible, it's associated with being evil or wicked, lewd, or wanton in a lot of ways. A person who is a fool is an individual who is lewd or wanton, or has made so many mistakes and is not learning from their mistakes that they eventually become a very wicked and evil person. Now, throughout the book of Proverbs, we're actually given a lot of clear insight to various types of people that we can become and people that we can encounter in life as well. These distinctions are not merely for observation. God obviously wants us to apply it to ourselves to avoid being certain people and to strive to be like others, okay? And when you look at it, we see that the Bible actually provides three primary categories. The first one being the wise man, right? This is probably the most famous one in the book of Proverbs. The wise man is one who knows what the Word of God says and does it. You know, they hear the preaching of God's word, they read their Bible on a daily basis, and once they adhere to knowledge, they actually put it into practice in their personal lives. This is a wise individual. They hear what the word of God says, and they are a doer of the word as well. And so, and by the way, the root of wisdom, of course, is fearing the Lord, right? It is the beginning of wisdom. The second category that we see in the Bible is the simple. And the simple person is one who simply lacks understanding. Another word for simple, believe it or not, is just stupid, believe it or not. You know, we think of stupid as like, man, that's such a harsh insult. But really, it just means someone who is void of understanding, someone who does not possess the necessary knowledge or wisdom to make certain decisions. And unfortunately, you know, the simple is not necessarily that they're wicked, they're not evil, they're just simple. But because they're simple, they end up suffering the consequences that the fool would often suffer because of their rebellion. So the Bible tells us that the simple are passed on and are punished. Why? Because of the fact that they don't possess knowledge, they don't possess prudence or understanding. And so the simple does not possess the knowledge or prudence necessary to make sound decisions. This individual is not necessarily wicked, malicious, or rebellious. They're just vulnerable to making bad decisions, right? And let me just be honest with you. All of us, once we first get saved, we start off simple, okay? Why? Because we don't come into the Christian life already having accumulated spiritual knowledge and wisdom and prudence. That's something that is gained over time. You go to church, you hear preaching, you read the Word of God, you hang around wise people, and you accumulate knowledge and wisdom. And Lord willing, you graduate from being a simpleton to being a wise individual, right? That is the goal for all of us, is to leave simplicity and graduate to being a wise person. But a simple person lacks discernment. He suffers the consequences of his poor actions. And the danger of being a simple person is not necessarily outright rebellion, but it's actually remaining in ignorance. So again, we all start simple, but if you don't learn from your mistakes, if you don't apply the preaching of God's word, if you don't learn from the consequences of your actions, you actually are in danger of becoming a fool. So you can either graduate to being a wise person, or you can regress to becoming a foolish individual. So the first category is the wise man, the second category is the simple, and then the third category is the fool. This is the person that knows what the Bible says. He understands cause and effect. He knows biblical doctrines. He knows what he's supposed to do to avoid the consequences of his actions, yet he refuses to change. You know, what kind of person would do that? A fool, right? Or it's just like, didn't you learn from your mistakes? Don't you know you're going to damage yourself by participating in this particular action, by saying this particular word, by hanging around with these kind of people, and they're just kind of foolish? It's not that they don't know. They obviously understand. And look, folks, we've all met someone who is a very foolish person, right? And it's just like, bro, why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep, you know, smoking marijuana? Why do you keep drinking? Why do you keep going back to the whore? Why do you keep doing this? And you're just like, I don't know, I just can't control. No, you're a fool. Because you know the cause and effect, yet you refuse to change. According to the biblical standard, you are a fool. And a fool is far more dangerous, obviously, than the person who is simple. Why is that? Well, because over time, the rejection of truth produces wickedness, rebellion, and even corruption. And so, you know, many fools begin as simpletons, but because they refuse correction, refuse to learn, refuse to repent, they descend into a hardened, foolish person, and we want to avoid that. You know, part of being a wise person is being humble, being able to be corrected when we are wrong doctrinally, we are wrong in our conduct, maybe we're involved in a particular sin, and, you know, I get up and preach about it, or you read about it in the Bible. So a brother or sister admonish you in the faith and to correct you in that area. If you are a wise person, you would take that correction and not say, well, I know more than this person. That doesn't apply to me. Well, you're sounding like a fool at that point because you're refusing to get that right. You're refusing to be humble, and therefore you will suffer the consequences of your actions. As Christians, we must refuse to remain simple and guard ourselves from becoming fools. And again, we all begin simple. None are born with biblical wisdom. But the Bible tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Our goal should be that when we come to church, we learn wisdom, either by the preaching of God's word or just by fellowshipping with other wise individuals. And look, if you want to accelerate your accumulation of wisdom, aside from just reading the Bible and hearing preaching, just hang around wise people. Amen. Make sure your friends are wise. Make sure they're not foolish individuals, right? Giving bad advice, bad counsel, bad admonishments. Make sure that they are centered in God's word, that they have the Bible as their centerpiece, that they're actually giving biblical counsel and things that can be seen in the word of God. And, you know, you'll become a wise individual. If you want to accelerate your growth in wisdom, just make sure you hang around other wise people. And so we're to grow from simplicity into wisdom and never regress into foolishness. Now, with that being said, I want to go through Proverbs chapter 26 here. And the first 12 verses of Proverbs 26 deals with the fool. And it gives us just a lot of good advice and things that we should avoid and things that we're to look for in others in order to avoid the fool. Look at verse number 1. It says here, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. So what is it saying? Well, the basic principle that that Solomon is laying out here is that honor and fools are mutually exclusive, meaning they don't go together. Just like you don't see snow in the summer and you're not supposed to see rain in the harvest, well, in like manner, a fool should never be respected or honored. What does it mean to be honored? It means to have high respect, to be someone of worth or someone who merits your respect and your reverence. This is what it means to honor someone, right? And so, and let me just make it very clear that this obviously does not apply in marriage. Okay? Meaning that, you know, a wife can't look at her husband and be like, well, he's a fool, so I'm not going to honor him. But riddle me this, though. Okay? Who's more of a fool? The one you married or the one who decided to marry a fool? Gotcha. Okay? And so, you know, it's important to understand that the principle applies, but there's exceptions to the rule. The exception would be, obviously, in marriage, you got to honor your husband, okay? Well, he's not worth honoring. Well, too bad. The Bible doesn't say honor him because he's worth honoring. It says honor him because you should do it as unto the Lord. Amen. And guess what? The Lord is always worth honoring. And so if your husband, or should I say when your husband falls short, when he makes bad decisions, when he makes foolish decisions, at that point, you resort to honoring him because you want to honor the Lord. If not, you are a foolish woman. Okay? You're not a simpleton. You are a foolish woman if you're not willing to honor your husband despite the fact that he falls short. The point being here is that in general, the Bible's teaching us that foolish people should never be regarded or esteemed as being intelligent individuals, people who are worth any wisdom, or the people that, you know, that should be followed or honored or respected. Why? Because just like snow doesn't go with the summer, rain doesn't go with harvest, honor does not go with the fool. And in fact, when you honor a fool, it's actually more detrimental to them. They become more prideful, they become arrogant, and they don't learn from their mistakes. Let me read you a couple verses here. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 15. Hold your place there in Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35 says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. What is it saying? The only promotion that a fool should get is not honor. It's actually shame. Why? Because in order for people to change, they need to be shamed at the things that they do in order for them to change. But a fool, because they've rejected the clear teachings of the scriptures, because they rejected the clear commands of the Bible, they should be as far away from honor as possible, because they will not repent, they will not get right if you honor them. They will actually become more emboldened to be a fool. Okay? Proverbs 15, verse 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor, listen to this, is humility. So what is the Bible saying? You know, one of the best ways for you to obtain honor is by being humble. Being humble before the Lord, being humble before others, boast not, you know, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips, making sure that you're not just boasting and bragging about your accomplishments, how great you are, what your talents are. Let other people honor you in that area, right? The fool, on the other hand, loves to brag about their accomplishments. Most of the time, they're not even accomplishments. They like to boast of a false gift. They like to talk about how great they are when in actuality, those around them know exactly who they are and how they lack humility and therefore are not honorable. The Bible's telling us here that if we want to receive respect and honor from others, it starts off with humility. It starts off with fearing God. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, if you would. Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs 20. It says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. Meaning that, you know, according to God's economy, if you find yourself in an altercation with an individual who wants to fight you, they want to get down with you, they want to throw hands or something like that, it's actually more honorable for you in God's eyes to cease from that strife. It is a glory for you to pass over the transgression. So in other words, you know, a wise person, an honorable person, actually likes to reduce conflict and walk away from fights and not make it worse. Now, we could apply this just with some random dude who's out in the street, but this also applies within the context of marriage. It applies within the context of just friendships and relationships. Don't be the person who's just the instigator. Now, I got to be careful here because our church is filled with instigators, okay? And it, you see, perfect example right there. You know, he just instigated Adam right now, okay? You know, we have a lot of instigation in our church, but obviously I believe it's in good fun. These are brothers, and so they treat each other like brothers, like really like brothers. You know what I mean? The only thing they don't do as brothers is throw hands. But maybe it might come to that one day. I don't know. I don't want to speak too soon. But in general, we should not provoke others to wrath. We should not seek to escalate a situation, right? You know, and let me just say this. You know, this applies to when you're getting pulled over by some police officer, too. I know my rights. Just shut up and give them your license and registration and move on with your life. Why are you going to escalate the situation worse? I know you know your rights, but how about your biblical right to be an honorable person and to cease from strife? You know, it's just like, oh, you know, what right do you have? You don't have probable cause. You know, you just pulled me over for no reason, start arguing with this individual. You know, a lot of the times you're just wasting your time there. Instead of just saying like, oh, hello, you know, when I get pulled over, I put on my whitest voice ever. Right. Yeah, hello there, officer. Yeah. I do not see that, Pastor. I apologize for that. Wow. Absolutely, you know. And typically they see me with parted hair, shirt and tie. They're like, this is a white chicken, you know what I mean, or something. And they let me go on my way with the warning, okay. The point being here is that I'm not trying to fight a police officer, okay? You know, these people are like, and I obviously understand that there's police officers out there that are like power hungry, and, you know, they're just trigger happy, and they do take people's lives, you know, unjustly. But I will say this, there's other times where people are just, why are you yelling at the guy with the gun? Right. You know what I mean? And why are you yelling at the female officer with the taser and a gun? You know, female officers are unstable. It's just like license and registration. You pull for it. He's got a gun. And she's just like, it's like just because you reach for your wallet or something like that. Do your best to cease from strife. You know, this isn't high school anymore. You're not, you know, trying to prove yourself in your high school. If someone insults you, they are trying to pick at you, instigate a fight with you, it's more honorable for you to just say, you know what, I'm sorry. Because the Bible tells us to agree with thine adversary quickly. Amen. A soft answer turneth away wrath. You know why you get in so many arguments in marriage? It's because you're not giving a soft answer. You know, you're matching the anger there, amen? If you want for a fight to stop, if you want to cease, if you want to be an honorable wife or husband, give a soft answer. Amen. And how about this? Just say, I'm sorry. You're right. Well, because I'm not sorry. Because you're a fool, right? Got to make sure that you recognize. And look, folks, even if, let's say you're in an argument with your spouse, because everyone argues with their spouse, by the way, okay? Don't let these lame pastors out there try to make you think, or former pastors, you know, don't let them try to get you to think that they just never fight with their spouse and everything. Life is just so hunky-dory and everyone just submits to one another. What is this, the millennial reign? That doesn't happen. We're not in our regenerated bodies. Folks, Christians argue in marriages, there's conflict. Here's the spiritual thing to do, though, is that when you experience a conflict, you learn how to pass over a transgression. The spiritual thing is not to say I've never had a conflict in my life. Because at that point, you're just a liar. Oh, yeah, you know, he was a liar, right? The spiritual thing to do is say, hey, yeah, I've experienced conflict, but you know what? We exercise certain principles to reduce that conflict. It's called apologizing. Amen. It's called saying, you know what? I was wrong about the whole situation, you know? Or it's saying, hey, don't you want to apologize to me or whatever, you know? It's talking things out, right? Point that I'm making here is that, you know, it's honor for a man to cease from strife. A fool does not know how to cease from strife. They want to escalate the situation. They want to throw out insults. They want to render evil for evil. They want to get the last word in. And the Bible tells us here in Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Meaning that he just wants to instigate. He wants there to be conflict. He wants there to be strife. You know, this is just a person who's just a foolish individual. You know, I thought as Christians, we are seeking for peace. Reconciliation, peace, and so forth. That should be our objective as Christians. Proverbs 12, verse 9 says, he that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. I love this verse because it's saying like, you know, you may not like this guy, but he's a boss and he has employees. Whereas this other guy, he speaks so greatly of himself, but bro lacks bread. He's not making any bread. He's not making any money, right? He doesn't know what he's talking about. But this is exactly the disposition of a fool. He honors himself. And this kind of like reminds me of people who DM me. You know, they're trying to educate me in the Bible, educate me about replacement theology. And they know so much of the Word of God. But then you go on their profile. And I'm not saying the followers playing a role in it. But then why do you have pictures of, you know, drinking alcohol, clubbing, being with all types of women, but you're gonna school me on Bible doctrine? You're trying to remove the moat out of my eye, which there is no moat, because I'm right about the Bible. All the while you have this massive beam in your eye of lewdness and sin. You're honoring yourself, yet you lack bread. Okay? You are a fool in the eyes of God. But this is the character trait of a foolish individual. Go back to Proverbs 26, if you would. Proverbs 26. And so we see here that just as snow does not go with the summer, rain with the harvest, never honor a fool. You give honor to a fool, they just become more proud and arrogant and stubborn. They will not learn from their ways. And so it's just not worth it. Look at verse 2. It's carrying on the same thought here. It says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Now, there's two schools of thought here that we see in these two verses, and it's essentially referring to the punishment on fools that are merited, okay? Because it's saying here, you know, a bird doesn't just wander. A bird flies with purpose, okay? A swallow doesn't just fly with no objective. They're obviously going somewhere. They're landing somewhere. They're seeking for food. They're seeking for shelter. There is an objective to the bird and the swallow that is flying. And so he says, so the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, when you see a fool suffering severe punishment, it's not just for no reason, right? When you see a fool and he's just in jail, he's indebted, he's just going through a hard time, it's because he's a fool. You know why? Because the curse causeless shall not come. There's a reason this person is suffering the consequences of their actions, and it's not because they're an innocent person. Now, obviously, we know that we as Christians sometimes suffer unjustly. There's various instances where that happens, right? Or we just suffer because God allows suffering to come into our lives. He wants to refine us. He wants to make us better. He allows trials and tribulations to prune us and so forth. But this is not what this is referring to. This is talking about the person who is suffering the consequences of their actions. They're like, I'm innocent. And it's just like, no, you're not. You know, you have a DUI because you were driving drunk. Right. Oh, no, they're just racially profiling me. No, it's because you are a drunkard, driving drunk, you're breaking the law, you're committing sin. Therefore, the Bible tells us that the curse causeless shall not come. Now, in the first verse, in Proverbs 26, it talks about things that don't go together. Snow in the summer, rain in the harvest. Verse 3, it talks about things that do go together. It says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. So when you see a fool suffering the consequences of their actions, receiving a rod to the back, you know what the Bible says? That goes together. You know what I mean? You know, when I see these pranksters online getting their rear ends handed to them, the curse causes shall not come. That's what you deserve. Amen. Why are you shocked? It's a prank! It's a prank, dude! It's a prank! Haven't you seen videos like that? Yeah. Where they just run into the wrong guy. Yep. They run into some Gen Xer. Some dude is just not playing around. You know, maybe his wife just left him. His dog just died. He lost his job. And then you got this Zoomer coming to prank him. And then he's surprised when he gets his hinder parts handed to him. He said, bro, what's your problem? It's a prank. It's a prank. That's not funny. Right. A rod is meant for the fool's back. And I love it because, you know, when I see these videos and I go in the comments section, you always have someone saying deserve button, you know, and then all like 10,000 likes or whatever. Like, this person deserved that. Why? Because a rod goes with the back of a fool. A whip goes for the horse. A bridle for the ass. And guess what? A rod is meant for the fool. Because a fool's mouth calleth for strokes, the Bible says. Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, turn with me if you would, go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 1:32 says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Destruction is in the way of fools. Now, why is it that the prosperity of fools shall destroy them? Well, because honor is not seemly for a fool. When you give honor, prosperity, success to a fool, it ultimately destroys them. Okay? The Bible also says in Proverbs 7, in verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasten to the snare, knoweth not that it is for his life. Let me just explain something to you young men. You never want to get yourself some IG model, okay? Some IG whore, okay? Why? Because that's actually a punishment upon the person who gets her. They're like, oh, man, I need a looks max because I need to get myself a 10 out of 10 or something like that. That's actually a punishment from God according to the Bible. Because the Bible's telling us here in Proverbs 7 that it's like a fool going to the correction of the stocks. So if you ever end up with an IG model, God forbid that you should, you know what that tells me? You're an idiot. You're stupid. You're a fool. Why? Because as beautiful as that woman may be, she's probably filled with a lot of STDs. She's going to break your bank. And you know what? Beauty is vain, the Bible says. Amen. Because ultimately, after a week or two, you're going to grow bored of those looks. And you know what? She's going to have an ugly personality. You're going to despise her. She's going to make your life a living hell. Yep. But you know, that's what you get for being a fool. Amen. Like, well, how do I correct that? Well, how about this? You know, stop watching pornography. How about that? And getting this unrealistic expectation of women, these fake women out there with, you know, all the Botox and the BBLs or whatever and all this nonsense. Why don't you actually just go for the virtuous woman who's actually serving God? And look, virtuous women are physically beautiful as well. You just don't see it because you're too busy watching pornography. Having, you know, building up this unrealistic expectation of what a woman should look like. But then guess what? Once you actually have that woman, you'll realize my life is miserable. It's not what it's cracked up to be, right? Once you actually have a taste of the IG model, of the IG whore, guess what? Thy mouth shall be filled with gravel, the Bible says. You realize this actually tastes like crap. It's not what I really wanted. Yeah, but you're a fool and you didn't listen to the admonishments of the Bible. Now, I don't think anybody here is going to get an IG model because, you know, for other reasons, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to help your desires, amen? Hey, but thank God for that, though, amen? You're like, man, I've been trying to look max for so long, but, you know, we all hit a max, though, you know? Maybe you've tapped out, okay? You know, there's no more to grow in that area, right? God has put a cap on your genetics, okay? You know, you're like, oh, man, are you saying that it's good to be ugly? You know, in certain instances, it is. You know, these guys who, you know, these clavicular types or whatever, these homo faggoty guys online, that all they care about is their looks, and, you know, I just want to look, I just want to ascend. No, bro, you're going to descend into the lower parts of the earth because all you care about is your looks. You're a vain person. And quite frankly, it means nothing. What are you going to do when you're 80 years old? You can't looks max anymore. We all grow old. Here's the best way to looks max, okay? Is get saved, and then you get yourself a resurrected body that never dies. You know? And folks, I'm telling you right now, these guys who just are spending so much time online, just following these girls and thinking this is the life that I want. If I could only find a Barbie or whatever who's a saved woman or whatever, I'd be so much happier. But it's probably not going to happen. Right, yeah. Let's just be realistic, okay? And you know, you need to change your taste in women, amen. Okay? And not go for the plastic person, right? Come on. Not go for the plastic woman. And actually, you know, start esteeming what is virtuously beautiful in the eyes of God. Amen. Okay? And so, you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 what God esteems as being beautiful, right? A meek and quiet spirit. Now, thankfully, you know, for me, I got both. You know what I mean? My wife's got it all. You know what I mean? But you know what? My wife and I, we're going to grow old. And you know what? My wife's looks, she's not going to be looking, you know, in her 70s and 80s the way she looked in her 20s and 30s, neither am I, but that's okay because that's just part of life. You understand? Beauty fades, my friends. That's just the way life is. I hate to hit you with the reality. Guess what? We all go gray at one point. And if you don't go gray, you'll go bald. Some of you know, right? That's just how it is. That's how it is. Stop trying to avoid that. Don't lie about your age, okay? You know, but these guys out there, that's what I'm looking for. No, you need to transition your taste in women and seek after the godly woman who puts the righteousness of God first. And obviously, I'm not saying don't be attracted to them. That's a stupid standard too. You obviously got to be visibly attracted to your spouse, okay? The point that I'm making is that sometimes people put a higher emphasis or only the emphasis is on the looks and not on the spiritual aspect, okay? And so very important there. But we're talking about the fool, but it applies. Because it's a foolish thing to have that type of standard for yourself. Right. And say, well, you know, there's just no good women out there. You know, you find this online a lot. No, it's because you're looking for some Russian model or something. Yeah. You're looking for some exotic model who's just like fundamental. They are, you know, King James. They're saved. Folks, that's a unicorn that doesn't exist. And even if you happen to find it, you know, this person's going to struggle with vanity. Right. I already preached a sermon on vanity. That's important, though. You know, don't be a vain person. Obviously, take care of yourself. Obviously, do the best you can to look as best as you can. Exercise. Lose weight. You know, dress appropriately. Brush your teeth. You know, take the eye boogers out of your eyes. You know, check. Look in the mirror real quick. Make sure everything's on point. No boogers on your face or whatever. And you know, work on your personality. But you know what? Far more than that is exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Very important. What do I have you turn? Proverbs 18? Look what it says here. Proverbs 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. This is the rod in the back. What is it saying? Foolish people, you just want to sock them. You just want to punch them around the mouth. Right? We all know that. We've all seen people online or in person where they're just like, man, this person has a punchable face. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, man, you just talk so much trash. You just say so many bad things. You're just going to say to the wrong person, and they're going to break your teeth. Why? Because a fool's mouth calls for strokes. That means they just don't keep their mouth shut. Okay. Now, I remember being in high school, I was a fool at certain times, you know. I would talk trash and, you know, and one day I talked trash to the wrong person and I got my rear end handed to me, you know, and it wasn't fun. But you know what it taught me afterwards? I'm not going to talk that much trash anymore. I grew into wisdom. You know, I talked trash to this one black guy and, you know, I made fun of him or whatever. And then he challenged me to a fight. We went to the alley after high school and he beat me up. And I'm glad that he beat me up for two reasons, okay? One is because after the fight, he had a bunch of his black friends, and they came up to me, and they were part of a Crip game. They said, it's good that you lost, because if you didn't, we would have jumped you, okay? You know, because that's what they did back in the day, okay? And they probably still do today. But, you know, he's like, we would have jumped you. But here's another reason why I'm glad. It's because it humbled me. And I find that the people who talk the most trash in their 20s are people who have never been socked in the mouth. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, this guy has never been punched. Right? You know what I'm talking about? It's just like, this person talks so much trash online, they probably never even smacked across the mouth. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about. I see some people on Facebook, I'm like, I wish there was a button that I can press where my hand can go through and not give a thumbs up, give them a five fingers to the face. Because they just, you guys, let me raise a hand so I know I'm not on an island by myself here. All right. You know, it's true. Sometimes you're like, man, this person is so bold, they're so brazen, they're so foolish. They've obviously never said this to the wrong person as of yet. Because one day they will, and they're going to get knocked out. They're going to get slapped across the face. I was talking to Brother Eddie today, and he was just like, man, I'm a Christian now, and I feel like Christianity saves a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like, basically, it's just like, people make me mad. It's just like, man, these people are lucky. I'm a Christian. Christianity is preventing me from hurting this person. But that is true. Because Christian virtue causes us to restrain ourselves, right? And he's like, this person is really lucky that I'm a Christian, because if not, he would have been knocked out on the floor, but it's not right to do, so I'm not going to do it. Why? Because a fool's mouth calleth for strokes, the Bible says. And so, you know, we should esteem being able to, like, pass over a transgression, not get involved in contention, know how to de-escalate a situation, right? Be peacemakers and so forth. Fools, on the other hand, the rod is for their back and the stroke is for their mouth. Okay, go back to Proverbs 26, if you would. Proverbs 26, look at verse 4. So what do we see so far? You shouldn't honor a fool. Never esteem or elevate a fool. Don't give him respect. Don't speak of him in a good manner. Why? Because he doesn't deserve it. He's a prideful, arrogant individual. He hasn't learned from his mistakes. He needs to be shamed for his actions. Furthermore, we see that the fool, when he is punished for his actions, he actually deserves it, because the curse causeless shall not come. We see that a rod is for the fool's back. Now I want you to notice verse number 4. It's going to give us some instructions on how to deal with the fool. It says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be also like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, there's various interpretations to this. I'm going to give you mine, because obviously at face value, this can seem somewhat of a contradiction, right? He says, you know, don't answer a fool according to his folly, but then it says right afterwards, answer a fool according to his folly. The difference between both of these commands is what the result is when we do so, okay? Because verse 4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Meaning that don't answer a fool according to his foolish disposition. Don't try to match their foolish energy, right? If a fool is saying things to you, they're raising their voice, they're being, you know, they're insulting you, don't answer him according to his same level of immaturity, his pettiness, right? His same level of disposition. Don't adopt the same foolish attitude, is what it's saying. Because you run the risk of being just as stupid as he is. Or sounding just as stupid as he is. Yeah. You know what I mean? The fool tells you, oh man, blank you. And you're like, well, blank you too and your mama. Well, now you just answered him according to his folly. And now you're just like him. You understand? You end up stooping to his level and thereby causing yourself to look just as foolish. And so, you know, I know this for a fact, because, like, on Instagram, people DM me some of the craziest insults ever, okay? You know, just outright, just absurd things that I feel like 5 years ago would have gotten under my skin. Now it's just like, I don't answer these people according to their folly. Like, people are like, you're so stupid, I can't believe you don't know anything about church history and about the Catholic Church and blah, 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 this and that. And I just respond, my bad, bro. You know, oh, my bad, bro, you know. oh, yeah, you're right, bro, my bad. You know? And I just sent him to the... You say, but don't you want to get the last word in? Not really. What for? He's a fool. He's a Catholic. He's a fool. You know what I mean? I'm not going to just, like, lower myself to their level and be like, no, you're a freaking idiot. You're over here praying to Mary, kind of gay, you know, just like, just start going off on him because I don't want to be like unto him. I don't want to, you know, match his stupid energy, his foolish energy. Therefore, I'm not going to answer him according to his foolish disposition and his foolish attitude. Now, there's an example of this. In Proverbs 22, verse 24, it says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with the furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul, the Bible says. Now, furthermore, you know, the Bible tells us that we should avoid contentions, right? Avoid strife. 2 Timothy 2:23 says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Where was your church in the first century AD? Avoid it. Why are you going to make yourself mad, right? Why are you going to get yourself upset? Why even answer that? You don't need to prove anything to anybody. If people want the truth, they get the truth. If they don't, they need to just move on, and so do you. The servant of the Lord must not strive, the Bible says, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now, let me be transparent. That doesn't mean that I do this 100% of the time, okay? I fall short of the glory of God, okay? Okay, let me just give that disclaimer real quick. And I need to say this because who knows, tomorrow I might just blow up on someone. And be like, dang, I messed up, you know? It's possible because I'm a sinner. And so, you know, sometimes you get in a conversation with people and you got a checkmate on them. You know what I mean? You got that golden ticket that you can just, like, destroy them with, right? You look into their genealogy, find out they're a Jew or something like that. Or it's like, bro, you're so cooked right now. You know, you find something just out about them and it's just like, I got to use this real quick, you know, and then you strive a little bit. Okay. I'm guilty of that. Let me just be honest with you. I am guilty of that. I'm not perfect in that situation. I'm preaching to myself in this area. Okay. But I've gotten better though. Okay. Most of the time people in the comment section, I'll, you know, answer one or two questions, DMs, I'll answer one or two questions, and then I just never revisit it again. However, every once in a while, you know, if I'm not in the spirit, I'm in the flesh or something because I'm just a sinner, you know, I do some wordplay and, you know, you just checkmate them real quick. And then you just like, all right, I messed up. But that was good though, you know. The point being here is that in general, right, in general, you shouldn't be characterized as being a person who answers fools according to their folly, where you are essentially condescending to their foolish disposition. You're being like them. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Conceit essentially is referring to their excessive favorable opinion about themselves. Okay? And you do have to answer a fool according to his folly if he's spreading and talking about stupidity. Yeah. If he is perverting the Bible, if they're saying nonsensical things, if they are, you know, causing people to be in error in a certain biblical regard, yeah, they need to be answered. They need to be corrected, right? And the Bible tells us that after the first and second admonition, a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. So obviously that implies that one or two admonitions should be given to that individual, okay? Doesn't mean don't answer them at all. It means give them two admonitions and then you need to move on from there, okay? And so very important. So you answer a fool according to their folly when they are showing some sort of excessive favorable opinion about themselves, about their doctrine, and they're just disseminating heresy and lies, they need to be corrected. That is 100% biblical to do. The point being here is that we need to learn both instances, okay? And obviously we're not going to do this perfectly, but in general, we should hit the mark as much as we possibly can. Look at verse 6. He says, he that sendeth the message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Now, what is it saying? It's saying that fools are unreliable people. You can't depend on a fool for anything. Now, look, if you're a fool and you're unreliable, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If people don't ask you to take responsibility for anything, it's possibly because you're a fool. Because you're unreliable. People can't depend upon you. You're not in your place when you're supposed to be. You're late. You're either, you say you're going to show up and you don't. You say you're going to do something, but you won't. You know, it's just, you're just an unreliable fool according to the Bible. And it says here that when you send a message by the hand of a fool, you might as well just cut off their feet. Why? Because, you know, they'll probably cover more ground maimed than they would with having feet. Meaning that it's just like they're not going to walk to take the message to the individual because of the fact that they're fools and they're unreliable people. They're not going to get the job done. And it says that you're drinking damage, meaning that you're actually harming yourself. So obviously, we could apply this to bosses, for example. You need to make sure that your employees are not fools, okay? That they learn how to get the job done, that they're reliable, they are on time, they're getting the task done, they're doing what they claim they said they were going to do, right? But even in a church setting, this applies, okay? And look, folks, this is a church where we have a lot of volunteers, but here's the thing. You should still take care of your responsibilities, though. Because if you volunteered for something, that means people are relying upon you to take over that task. Just because you're a volunteer doesn't give you the flexibility to not complete your task. Because you're the one who volunteered, or you agreed when someone asked you to volunteer for a particular task, okay? And you're like, well, I'm not a paid staff member. Then here, if that's the disposition that you're going to have, then you might as well just not do it. Because whether you're getting paid or not, you're still doing it as unto the Lord. Therefore, it should be executed with excellence. You know what I'm saying? Here's what I'm saying here. Hey, if you're an usher, be on time. Amen. You're a parking attendant, be on time. You are a piano player. You're a musician. Be on time. Amen. Don't be a fool who is like someone with their feet cut off. Because they can't get you here on time. And look, folks, punctuality is important, okay? Especially for church. We start at 10:30.
That's right. Amen.
You know, Mexican churches are different. I'm not joking with you. Mexican churches, Hispanic churches, you know, whatever. Latin churches, Spanish churches, whatever. You know, if you want to get offended at that, good. But, you know, they will say they start at 10:30 and they'll start literally like at 11 sometimes. It's very far few in between who actually uphold an actual like time, but they will be like, you know what, you know, or they'll have a conference. Conference starts at 7:00. They're like, and they actually end up starting like at 8:30 or something like that, because they're waiting for people, for more people to come in. So the pastor is not willing to start on time. Therefore, the members don't come on time either. That drives me absolutely bananas. You know why? Because punctuality is a virtue. You know what punctuality means? It means that you're taking other people's times into consideration. You know that other people are waiting on you, okay? And I got to get on this every couple of months or so. Be a punctual person to your responsibilities at church. And if you feel like, well, I just can't, then don't do the responsibility then. Because I prefer to just find someone with a lesser quality, but at least they're on time, they get the job done, maybe not as perfectly. I'd rather have that individual because at least we can rely upon that person to be in their place when they're supposed to be. Okay? You know, and look, when we put people to take care of certain responsibilities who are unreliable, we drink damage. The orchestra drinks damage. The church members drink damage. You end up affecting everyone else because of it. Okay? What am I saying? Fools, according to the Bible, are just unreliable people, okay? Don't be the unreliable employee at your job. Be the person that your boss can depend on. Be the church members that your pastor can depend on, that your team leader can depend on, that the head usher can depend on, that the person who's in charge of whatever ministry can rely upon, okay? And one thing I've noticed is that, you know, you'll see this a lot in churches where one person is just doing a lot. And, you know, they're just over a lot of things. They just take care of a lot of stuff. But let me tell you why. It's because they're reliable. Right. And sometimes they're like, can we get more people to take it? Well, here's the problem, though, is that sometimes people are just unreliable. Right. So therefore, we just pile it on this one dude, pile it on this one lady or something, because they're just reliable individuals. I'm trying to discourage you from being an unreliable Christian. Amen. You know, don't treat church as just some casual setting where you don't have to put in your 100%. We're serving God here. Serve God all the time, but this is the epicenter of serving God. This is the local New Testament church. You know, put in the work. Be a person who takes it serious. Don't be a person that causes others to drink damage because of your lack of effort, punctuality, and so forth. You know, a message by a fool is basically crippling the person who sends them. And so, you know, this is important for us to know, to learn. You know, we do suffer the consequences of other people's lack of character. And look, folks, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Sunday, for me, obviously, is the most important day of the week, other than Thursday. But just for me and my family. So you know what we do? We prepare on Saturday, right? Get everything prepared on Saturday. Do the best that we can to get to bed on time because, you know, we got church tomorrow, right? Now, obviously, I'm sometimes out, you know, I'm at the office late at night on Saturday working or whatever. But if I have to be sleep deprived and here on time, I'm going to do it. And you know what? The same can be said of Ulysses Hernandez. He might be falling asleep right now, actually. Okay? He might be out right now. He might have just woken up right now when I said that. Okay? His heart is racing right now because I'm talking about him. But let me tell you something. The man is here on time, though. Okay? You know, there's been times where this guy is working on a Saturday night, cleaning, getting everything done because he went to TJ and he's got all these responsibilities. And bro will literally go home like at 4 o'clock in the morning, get dressed, get some breakfast, and come back to church right on time. You say, why does he have so many responsibilities? Because bro's just reliable like that. Now, he's not necessarily the most reliable to just stay awake sometimes, you know, just in general, which is why he has to stand up sometimes, you know. But, you know, I can always rely upon Ulysses, and obviously he's a staff member. But but the reason he's a staff member is because he was doing this before he was a staff member. Like, I remember even before hiring him, he had a full-time job, and he was still coming to church after work to come clean the church, which is why he ended up getting on the news when we were being protested. You know, remember that famous clip, the news, you know? That's what the Bible says. He has, like, the yellow shirt or whatever, and a congregant came out, and you see Ulysses come out, and you know, he has the famous lines there. Well, he had just finished cleaning the church. He didn't show up because he saw it on the news. He was just mopping or whatever, you know. Came out and there, you know, they interviewed him. So obviously he was doing this stuff prior to even being hired full time. Why? Because he's just a reliable person, okay? He's where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be. But let me just say this. Regardless if you're sleep deprived or not, be here on time. Amen. Be a reliable person. Be at your soul winning spot. Be in your place. Don't come dragging in on Sunday. Let me also get on this real quick, okay? Church is at 10:30. 10:30, right? So being on time is being early. Being early is at least 15 to 20 minutes before service. Not 15 to 20 minutes after service has already started. Okay, don't be the person who's on time when you have responsibilities, but the days you don't, you come late. Don't be the person who drags. And I don't want a show of hands, but I'm sure the ushers can tell me every single person who's late every single week. I know they can. Why? Because they see them all the time. And look, don't be the person, you know, you see these reels or whatever where people are like, oh, you know, the reason I'm late to church is because I went to Starbucks. Most of you are not late because you're going to Starbucks. It's because you're going to the convenience store right before the service or whatever. Got to get your hot Cheetos or whatever, you know. Get that beforehand. Don't make it a custom to be late walking through the doors, you know, causing the ushers to scramble to find a seat for you. Folks, we're getting so full in here. We need your participation to be just punctual. Okay? I know you like to make your grand little entrance, you know, your little star entrance. Here comes so-and-so, whatever. No, that's not grand. You're not helping much. Be a person who's punctual. Come to church. Don't be the person don't be the byword in the proverb in our church who is the quintessential example of what a layperson is. Then when we look at the dictionary and look at the word late, someone who's not punctual, your face is on there. Okay? Well, you just don't understand. I just got up late. You wouldn't get up late for work. So why are you getting up late for church? Come to church on time. Get your fellowship in. Church is an important thing. And I get it. We live in Southern California. We got some brothers here from Northern California, from Sacramento. So I don't know. I don't know if the traffic's the same over there, but traffic is bad here, though. Okay, right? Is it bad? Pretty bad over there? It's nothing like this. All right. But you guys got crackheads all over the place, though, so yeah, that's different. Crackamento is different. We got traffic like you guys got crackheads, you know what I mean? Just it's all over the place. Traffic is bad here. The 91 is bad. If you're coming from the IE, may the Lord help you, right? We've all had that instance where we're driving, and then you see that long line, and you're like, oh. You guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's just they're always doing construction or something like that, or something's going on. The 91 is horrific, okay? But plan for the traffic, though. Don't be the fool with the feet cut off, making us drink damage because of your lack of character and punctuality, okay? Don't be the byword and the proverb in our church and be the person that everyone knows that the only thing you're consistent in is being late. Yeah, you're consistent. It's just not in your punctuality. You're just consistent in being late all the time. And all the ushers are laughing right now because they're already texting each other right now and so and so or whatever. Don't make it a habit. Okay? And you may think, well, I have social anxiety. You know, I don't like to come beforehand or whatever. Get over it. Just come. Just don't talk to anybody. Just come and sit down. What do you mean? What's the difference? I thought, wouldn't it be worse for someone who has social anxiety to come in late and then have everyone just like, look at you coming in late? Right? I feel like that would be worse. All right, let's move on from that. It's important, though, okay? Go to Proverbs 25, if you would. Proverbs 25. Relying on a fool is self-sabotage. The results in loss and harm. And so, you know, we don't want to be the person who's causing others to drink damage because of our lack of character. Look at verse 19 of Proverbs 25. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Meaning that you are, you know, if you've ever had a broken tooth, how many of you have ever had a broken tooth before? It's painful. Man, you guys all, your mouth called for strokes or what's going on here? You know, I've had a broken tooth and it's like when it hits the nerve, you know what I mean? It's painful. Right? Well, that's what it's saying. It's just like when you put confidence in an unfaithful man, that's like having a broken tooth. It's just painful. You just hurt yourself because of it. It's like a foot out of joint. Now, look at verse 13, though, of Proverbs 25. It says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Meaning that you could expect the cold of snow coming in the time of harvest. He comes right on time. It just expected for that to happen. Well, in like manner, a faithful messenger is expected to refresh the souls of the people he's sending the message to. Amen. This is referring to a reliable person, right? And let me just say this. You know, it's refreshing to see people be in their place at the same time every single week, seeing the same people come into church. They're faithful to church. They're faithful in soul winning. That's refreshing. You are as a faithful messenger to them that send you. You're like the cold of snow in the time of harvest. Go back to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, and I think this will be my last point here, maybe. Verse 7 says, the legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth the stone in the sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. What is this referring to? Well, verse 8 is actually more so tied into what we just talked about, being unreliable, drinking the damage. But verse 7 and 9 is essentially telling us that fools don't have spiritual discernment. Okay? Just as the legs of the lame are not equal, they don't go together, so is a parable in the mouth of a fool. You can't expect foolish people to discern or interpret scripture. Okay, that's what it's saying. And it says in verse 9, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. What does that mean? You know, if you had a thorn in your hand, like a splinter, first of all, if you're sober, it's hard to find sometimes, right? You ever had a thorn in your finger and you're just rubbing, you're like, man, I feel something there, I know there's something there, and you're just like trying to look and, you know, you're going like this. Well, think about a person who's intoxicated. You know, a thorn in the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. So if a drunkard has a hard time finding a thorn in their hand, that's the equivalent to a fool trying to find the truth in a parable. Understand? They can't discern what the Bible's saying because they're a fool. Okay? And, you know, this is obvious. This can be obviously applied to, like, you know, newer Christians. They're not fools. They're just simple in the areas of parables or whatever. They're learning about the Bible. They're learning about the doctrines of the faith. So, obviously, that's completely normal, right? We were all at a point where we were young in the faith and didn't understand certain stories in the Bible. But as the years go by, the more you read the Bible, the more you accumulate knowledge. And you're like, oh, okay, I heard a sermon on this. Now I know what it means. And now you have the understanding. Now you see that there's a thorn in your hand, right? You see that, you know, what the parable is referring to. So this is obvious. But the fool, remember, the fool has been given the explanation. They know what the Word of God says, yet they still can't find the truth in the parable. Now, again, this obviously applies to younger Christians, but it should never apply to pastors. If you have a pastor that can't explain to you some basic doctrine, they're a fool. You know, one of the most recent examples of this would be Jared Pazarnski of Verity Baptist Church, who can't seem to explain what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, that's a simple doctrine right there. And let me just say this, you know, if in my church I want to explain something that I believe, you know, even if I'm not the best at explaining it, right? You know, even if I'm not the most eloquent when it comes to explaining it, all you really have to do is just go to the Bible, go to those verses, read them, and then just kind of give a synopsis of what that verse means, right? Make a couple comments and that's it. Obviously, there's other pastors out there who can wax eloquent. They can just divide it. They can, you know, sizzle it and serve you a nice little meal there. But in general, if there's something that I want to explain to the church and I'm not the best at doing it, guess what? I can still do it, though. I can just go to the Bible and just show you what the Word of God says and kind of give you the synopsis of that verse according to my understanding and interpretation there. You know why? Because I'm the pastor. And as pastors, you got to be apt to teach. Now, obviously, there are instances in the Bible where there's certain doctrines that are very deep. End times prophecy is deep, right? There's certain aspects of end times Bible prophecy that are very deep, that require a little more understanding, a little more explanation, and so forth. But calling upon the name of the Lord is not one of them. That's like basic 101 salvation, soul winning. It's not hard at all. Okay? And here's the thing. You know, I preached on calling upon the name of the Lord multiple times. And not a single instance when I've preached on calling upon the name of the Lord have I ever said to the church, well, just go listen to what Pastor Anderson says. That's what I believe. Right? Yeah. Just kind of say, like, whatever he says, that. Although it may be true. Because I have to explain the passage. Yeah. You understand? And look, even if you just go to one verse, or one passage, what if you just stick to Romans chapter 10? It's all you need. And look, folks, if someone ever accused me of not believing in calling upon the name of the Lord, I just rip on the alternative in one sermon to just let everyone know that I do believe in calling upon the name of the Lord. And quite frankly, all I have to do is go to Romans chapter 10, talk about how stupid it is for people not to believe in it, because the text clearly says it. Go to Genesis chapter 4, give the biblical explanation according to John chapter 4, and it's done. Amen. But you know what? Only a fool is incapable of doing that. Yep. And here's the thing, folks. The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Yep. Why? Because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. And so, you know, when you have a pastor who can't explain to you just a basic doctrine of the Christian faith of just asking for salvation, they want to tell you to go to someone else. You know, first of all, let me just say this. If Roger Jimenez was my former pastor, I would never be like, hey, just whatever he says is right. Like, bro, that's the bad example. You mean the thief, bro? Are you talking about the guy who stepped down? The gooner? You beat me to it. Talk about the gooner. I'm not going to go to the gooner to give the interpretation of what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. You're the pastor. You explain it. And look, okay, you believe in the family. Great. Can we hear about something else, though? Yeah, we know you like to raise your kids. Everyone does. Can you talk about like some other doctrines of the faith, though? Because you're being accused of not believing certain of these doctrines, and you're not really doing a good job, you know, proving them wrong. Calling upon the name of the Lord is not hard at all, folks. And quite frankly, anybody, you don't even have to be a pastor to be able to explain that. Because you could just, I could ask some lady in our church, you know what I mean? Like, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord, and how does that apply to you? And they'll say, well, when I got saved, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. That's what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Like, that's the most basic, right? Yeah. Like, even if he did that, that would have sufficed, but I don't even think he did that. He was like, of course I believe it. Because whatever he says, that's what I believe, or whatever, you know? What is that? It's garbage. And so, you know, Jared Pazarnski is a classic example of a person who is a fool because he can't even, and we're talking about parable here. A parable is a dark saying. Calling upon the name of the Lord is not a dark saying. That's a light saying. It's a very explicit statement in the Bible, right? It's found throughout both Old and New Testament, specifically in the New, and it's very obvious because it deals with salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? And so, you know, and his explanation, by the way, of Romans 10 is just absolutely absurd. What he believes about it. He's saying like, well, when the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's like, when it says confession, is you confessing before others, talking about salvation to others. What? What is that? You're not apt to teach if that's what you're saying. If you believe that Romans 10, 9 through 10, when it talks about confessing with your mouth, it means to confess to others and talk to others about salvation, you don't know anything about the Bible. That's a super easy scripture. It's not hard at all. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the result of confessing with your mouth, the result of believing with your heart is salvation for you. He's like, you know, he's got the thorn. He can't even see it. But it's not even the thorn. It's like a huge, you know, in that broken hand of his. It's just like right there, you know. Broken hand, a foot out of joint. It's just like right there. But he can't see it. You know why? Because typically, you know, in the Bible, unsaved people can't understand simple scriptures like that. Are you saying he's not saved? I don't know. I'm just reading to you what the Bible says. I don't know. Maybe he's it. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. I don't know. I just know that he interprets the Bible like an unsaved person, though. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Now, look, I could be wrong. Preach a series on it. Go through every, you know, you and your little serieses. Go through an entire series and explain what it means to call upon the name of the Lord and prove us all wrong. Okay. But you're not going to be able to do it because you can't find the thorn in the hand. What am I saying? I'm saying that fools don't have spiritual understanding. They don't have spiritual discernment. And obviously there's people in church who, you know, they believe certain doctrines, but they have trouble communicating those doctrines, right? Like you believe in the post-trib pre-wrath rapture, but maybe some of you can't really explain it as well as it was explained this morning, or the way you've seen it on documentaries. You can't really expound upon it. You wish it could, but it doesn't flow out of the mouth, whatever. But you understand the basics of it. But that's okay. You're not a pastor. If you're a pastor, one of the qualifications of a pastor, listen to this, is to be apt to teach. That voice is coming from that room right there. Just everyone's like, where's that voice coming from? You know, you're supposed to be apt to teach. Capable of explaining simple doctrines and complex doctrines as well. If you can't do that, then sit down and shut up and go be some public speaker on the family. Yeah. Go be some family guru or whatever. Right. And do that instead of trying to be a pastor, because the pastor requires for you to teach the entire counsel of God. Amen. Okay? And look, I love sermons on the family. Don't get me wrong. I love sermons on child rearing. I love sermons on marriage. I love sermons on winning the hearts of your children. I preach sermons like that. I think that stuff is important, amen? Yeah. That stuff is good. But quite frankly, there's a lot more to talk about than just that. Yeah. We've dedicated sermons in the summer towards the family, towards dating and rearing children and winning the hearts of your children, spending more time with your kids and your wife. All that stuff is good. But that's not what our ministry is characterized by. You know why? Because I got so much other things to talk about. We have an entire book to talk about, okay? And the only reason people would stay away from those topics is because they don't know about those topics. They can't explain those topics because it's too deep for them, because they can't find the thorn in the hand. That's the problem, okay? All right, last point here, verse 11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. This means that they don't learn from their mistakes, okay? So a dog vomits, and then he goes and he licks up his vomit. You seen dogs do that? That's what they do. Well, that's the equivalent to a fool making a mistake, suffering the consequences of their mistake, and then going back and making it again. Look at Proverbs 23, and we're done. Now, when I think of this particular point, I think the greatest example of a dog returning to his vomit is a drunkard. It's a perfect example, right? You can apply this to all drug addicts, but specifically drunkards, because they vomit. I mean, they vomit, they throw up, they feel horrible. They're busting blood vessels in their eyes. They have hangovers. You know, their body's just being destroyed, and yet they get up and do it again. Look what it says in Proverbs 23, verse 32. At the last, it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake again? When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. So after he just got finished talking about all the consequences of drinking alcohol, he's beaten, he is sick, he, you know, is beholding strange woman, he is uttering perverse things, he's being bitten like by a serpent and with an adder, and then he's like, wakes up from his hangover, he's like, time to go do it again. You know what that is? A fool. Okay? And so they don't learn from their mistakes. And so we might continue this next week. We'll see. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Proverbs 26. Help us as your people to avoid these characteristics, Lord, in our personal lives. And also avoid associating with such people as well. Lord, the fool not only damages himself, but when placed in a position of authority, when given responsibility, they end up damaging others as well. And I pray that you help us to avoid individuals like that, Lord, and help us to gain wisdom as we fear you, Lord, and accumulate knowledge through the Bible and by being around other wise individuals. We love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and turn your hymnals to song number 164. Praise him. Praise him.